Trying to explain on this mind training, eight verses of mind training. Okay, the first here, Dani Simjan Tamjela Yjindu Lela Tunjo Drubu Sabai Tadu Jebran Zimber shows as saying that. I think it's the eight verses mind training is from Kadamba Geshe. Check out, I think so. So the first verse it says, Dani Simjan Thamjen Las. I cherished all the sentient beings because of the aspiration of gaining enlightenment. I cherish that for the sentient being, yeah. And then Kandu Sudan Drobe is the Danyu Gwen Medashin, Shema Samba Tawa Yichoda Chibran Zemba Shows. And whenever I meet or meet or come across with whatever the sentient beings, I lower myself and the respect to those the fellow sentient beings because of because of the responsibility to taking care of all sentient beings. So and then he says and chalam kundu rangyu la toje nyumu jemata dajem maru cheban de tsendab don droba shows. So I always focus on my mind, then see the, how mind is there any control from the afflictive emotions. The six, the root afflictive emotions, and the second and secondary 20 afflictive emotions, right? Six root and 20. Secondary deletions. So, whichever the kind of more forceful, and I right away I'll apply the antidote. So now you see here, mind training. I think the Bodhisattva's so way of kind of Bodhisattva, I think, as approach or way to think towards the sentient beings. So first, they train their mind by reflecting on six causes and one effect. So thinking all the sentient beings. First, all the sentient beings had been my mother, because there is a the limitless, the countless of the life I took. So I have connected with all the sentient beings. So they've been very kind to me. So while the time they've been being your mother, then she took care of you and she cherished you more than her kind of herself, or more than is more cherishable than her life. So it's she. So then you reflect on how the mother being kind to you. And then since the sentient beings are kind of over-controlled by the delusions and the karma, and then right now I have opportunity to listen to Dharma, and I have opportunity to contemplate on the Buddha's Shakyamuni's the teachings and his idea, and I have more time, I have more fortune, so I have to do something to create the merits or the cultivate knowledge. In the future, I can help those sentient beings. I can overcome the suffering of the sentient beings. I wish, I dedicate, I pray. All I do is for the sentient beings, right? So then, that is how you try to repay their kindness, right? And so reflecting on all the sentient beings had been your mother, they've been kind to you, and you are repaying their kindness. And then now I think reflecting on all the sentient beings had been your mother, and knowing their kindness, and knowing that you have to repay their kindness, can be practicing in Hinayana, right? Now, the second, the Mashi Tinden Tinso, Yuonga Chamba, and Yuonga Chamba is the lovely love for something. So whenever you see the sentient beings, whatever the sentient beings, you come across with seeing those sentient beings, or so it's, there is no, how to say, hatred or the aversion toward the sentient beings. There are no single sentient beings that I can hate. So I how to say, the dislike or whatever the sentient beings that appears to me is very, the precious than, more precious than the wishful jewels, right? So this kind of thought coming after that, reflecting on the mother and their kind, and their considering repaying their kindness, and then the lovely love appearance is more coming with responsibility. So you take a pledge to I will, whatever I create the positive karma, and I cultivate knowledge, how to say, the wisdom, all those is I dedicate for the sentient beings to free from suffering. So after that, more you train in that way, and then you see the sentient beings in a different way, right? So the lovely loves it comes with the promise or the pledge or the courage, and then fully responsibility, taking fully responsibilities. I will be the one. I'm by myself. I will free all the sentient beings. So you just force your mind to think that, right? So like Buddha Shakyamuni came to this earth, and he freed many sentient beings. He alone did that by himself, right? I mean, he did that by himself. He gave the teaching. He tried to awaken the imprints and the seeds of the Buddha, seeds of the liberations. And in many ways, he, cured their the delusions and imprints of the delusions. And he overcome those suffering. So many the limited of the sentient beings he freed to the liberations and enlightenment. That so I am too be the one who can who can have all those methods, all those idea to free the sentient beings. And this is the Mashi Tinjin Tinzo Yonga Chamba Thasam. This is the responsibility. And then you think of each of those sentient beings, the varieties of the sufferings, many kind of sufferings. You can't reflecting on those each of suffering, and you try to understand what is the cause and condition for those each of suffering, and you wish that I can free those, how to say, sentient being from those cause and condition that causing them the suffering, right? So you contemplate many sufferings, and at the same time you are knowing the cause and condition that producing that suffering. So when you know the cause and condition that producing that suffering, you will know how can free the sentient being from that kind of particular suffering, because you know the cause and condition, right? So you have an idea. Once you remove that cause and conditions, and those sentient beings are free from that, the suffering. So many suffering. Reflecting on the suffering is very important. Without knowing the suffering and the cause and condition for the suffering, you cannot, have a genuine compassion, right? So in order to have the proper compassions, you need to understand each of the suffering that is caused by different the conditions and the causes and conditions. So then after that, and bodhicitta is coming like arising like a fish from the ocean. And then after that, then you think of enlightenment, the qualities of enlightenment, and then you have a strong desire to achieve, to gain that state of enlightenment. That is the bodhicitta, which is caused by the compassion, right? And there's two aspirations for the generation of the bodhicitta. So one that is the cause, one is comes as a secondary mind with bodhicitta. The first is the compassion, this which is the cause, the substantial cause for the bodhicitta. And second aspiration is desire to gaining enlightenment, right? And the primary mind that is focusing on the quality of the Buddha or the any kind of characteristic of the Buddha. So primary mind, we call it the bodhicitta. And the secondary mind that comes with, associated with that primary mind, and the desire is the secondary mind, that desire to gaining enlightenment is as one aspirations, right? So bodhicitta is, the whole definition of the bodhicitta means the primary mind that is, spontaneously wishing or desire to achieve enlightenment is this is the definition of the bodhicitta or the altruistic intention. So this is very crucial to know first what is the primary mind, what is the secondary mind, how the secondary mind works, and then what is the primary mind, is how that react on object. The primary mind means is every consciousness comes with the primary mind and the secondary mind always. So first there's omnipresent five secondary mind. So that means every the primary consciousness that comes with those five secondary mind. Dumba means first. Dumba, Mirba, Tenba, Dingin, Zin, Shirab. Dumba is aspiration or the interest, right? First, when you see the object, it's starting from desire or the interest or the intention. Dumba, aspirations, more like aspirations. Mirba means is a, how to say, Mirba is like a, first aspirations, maybe I would say intention, okay, no, that's a mistake. So the five omnipresent mind is Soan Dujisemba, the feeling and discrimination awareness and intention and how to say Soan Dujisemba the Yilichaba means Rilichaba is maybe I would translate that in as a yilichepa means is reflecting on object and so on, just yilichepa and the contact. Sowan duji semba yilichepa rekba. So first feeling and discrimination awareness and the intention and so this is very hard to, I have seen one video CD in Ithaca, and it's, they have there in Dharamsala, in front of His Holiness, they are having the conference about the mind, secondary mind and the primary mind. There's one professor from the France, and he is the professional, I mean, professor, the Buddhist Buddhist, what is it? And so his kind of is from the Theravadi professor, the Buddhist professor. And when he present his the presentation, it's about the Buddhist mind, primary mind and secondary mind, and he uses all the words at the Sanskrit. The Pali, and she said it's very confusing in translating English because in Tibetan words and the Pali words are different. The five omnipresent has based on their own definitions, different definitions, so they have different words, different to term that when you translate in English, so sometimes intention, interest, desire is become one, there's no separate meaning. So, in Tibetan words, first the soa means, soa is very easy to translate in English, the feeling. So whenever you see things like, for example, you are focusing on, you are buying the new table. The first comes with the feeling. Because you have a feeling that, that feeling that draws the mind towards that object, right? If you have a good feeling one towards object, you are focusing on that object. When you see the many different sizes and different colors of the table, and you're going to buy one, so you have, so that means whenever you're focusing on one thing, you are thinking about this table and you have a feeling, right? So then after that feeling creates or the generates the discrimination awareness, you are kind of distinguishing or trying to discriminate on the object. So this, because this is color is more suitable for me. Maybe if the size of the table is more likable. So, and then you they start to discriminate an object. And after that, and then it generates intentions, right? So, and so on, you see Samba. So the Samba is the intentions. And there's, and again, there's a, after that intention and so on, you see Samba. Yilichaba means reflecting. So one, this is very similar, and intention and so on this is Samba Yilichaba. Yilichaba means maybe you say engaging on object or reflecting on object, something. So there's a one first intention become it's a drawing the consciousness or so more towards the object, and the second, and that mind is more depending on that object, almost it's like you cannot separate, it feels like you cannot separate from that object, as the fourth one, and the contact. So then, and the faculty, and the faculties, and the object, and the consciousness, are connected, it's more related, and then it creates a new and one primary consciousness. Right. So, I think it's very. So every consciousness is the same. So, the primary consciousness. Every primary consciousness comes with five secondary, omnipresent mind, secondary mind. So starting with feeling, discriminations, intentions, or contact is the last. The fourth is the reflection or something, yeah. So, so then you see here and about the generation of the bodhicitta. The feeling is coming out of the compassion. So you have a feeling. It's very how to say it? Feeling that comes with the compassions, and you have a very strong feeling that. To overcome the suffering, all the suffering from the, of the sentient beings, and then you see who has that kind of potential to free the suffering, who has that potential to remove the suffering, and then you look up on enlightened being, right? The enlightened state of enlightenment. So then that is coming. Is a discrimination awareness. So you discriminate that. So there's many the mighty beings, and there's many noble beings. There's many higher realizations. There's many who has a special qualities. So even if sometimes we can take refuge on if you are very feel very cold, and you find the place there is more warmer, right? So you are, it's like you are taking a refuge to some heater or something, because you want to free from that coldness. So now you see the compassion, it creates the feeling that is really looking for actually looking for the free from the delusion. And then you see only the enlightenment, because the enlightenment or the omniscient mind is the full of antidote, right? It's the real ultimate antidote for the delusions. So only the enlightened quality can overcome those suffering. So then, yes, it's the discriminating. You are, how to say, distinguishing, there's many antidotes, there's many the special qualities. So then you find that enlightenment is the only antidote that can free all the sentient being from the suffering. So, and feeling and discrimination awareness. And the intention. And then you see there's more quality. There's more, the benefits from the enlightenment. And then your mind is drawing after this. Your mind is drawing towards the quality of the Buddha, so quality of enlightenment, right? So that is Sambha is the intention, and mind that can hardly taking off from that object, the fourth one, secondary mind, and the contact. So your mind is completely settled or the focusing on that an object, and then faculties, the mental faculties, and object, and your primary consciousness connected, related, the mixed, right, related. So that is five omnipresent mind, and then the primary mind just is like a, appears that object. So that is the primary consciousness. Primary consciousness means the consciousness that possess those five omnipresent mind. That is the primary consciousness. So bodhicitta means in general, we consider this is primary consciousness that possess all those five omnipresent mind. And so cause of that, the bodhicitta is derived from that feeling, the feeling that coming out of the compassion, right? And aspiration, you have intention or the aspiration to gaining in the qualities of enlightenment. So this is bodhicitta, right? So your mind is knowing very much about the qualities of the Buddha and the cause and condition of the Buddha. And then you see, because the feeling and desire to achieve enlightenment, because of that, when you see the sentient beings, and it's very different from before you practice that, before you knowing that, before you contemplating on that. So then you see as a more cherishable than the wishful jiva, right? So then, and then one condition is knowing this, the considering sentient beings as more cherishable than the jiva or the fulfilling wishful wish jiva is because. And you know that you want to overcome the suffering of the sentient beings. You want to achieve, because of that, therefore you want to achieve a gaining enlightenment. And then you see how can we, for the cause of that enlightenment is the compassion and the wisdom. And how do you cultivate that compassion and the wisdom? It's only from the sentient beings. You cannot cultivate the merits from the trees and waters and winds and so any substantial the external thing, because if you cherish, if you are cherishing too much on one tree, so you are watering every day, or you you have a very strong feeling towards that tree, and that has no effect. There is no kind of cultivating the merits. There is no wisdom. So when you cherish that, the sentient being that is very, very, has a very bad attitudes and always angry and always try to harm you. If you cherish that, right, that person or that sentient being, and there is more kind of merits, there is more the wisdom. So you'd have to find many ways to treat that sentient beings. So that is a cultivating merits, that is a cultivating wisdom. For the tree, there's nothing. For the flowers, there's nothing. The water is nothing. So only because of just existence of the sentient beings. Mere existence of the sentient being is the main cause for you to achieve enlightenment. So your the future enlightenment is actually driving, coming out of the sentient beings, right? So therefore you respect sentient beings and you cherish sentient beings because you know there is more benefit if you do it this way, right? Cherishing sentient beings, respecting sentient beings has a more cultivating merits, more accumulating the wisdom. So, and then because of that, that mind reminds you that these are very precious for you, and you should lower yourself when you see the sentient beings, because your future, the permanent state of happiness is the main cause of that. Your future enlightenment or your future permanent state of happiness is this sentient being. So then you respect because of that, right? And then even you have that kind of motivations, intentions, you're trying to contemplate on that. And our mind is, there is always the obstacles in our mind, many the six root delusions, attachment, anger, and pride, and ignorance, and what is that? The six. Deja shalom timu ngaje mariba. Yeah. And wrong view. So those are the six root delusions. And the secondary mind delusions, there's a lot of secondary delusions. So you have to always watch out your mind. So what is really happening in your mind, right? So if you feel there's jealousy arises and you just catch that jealousy, or this is a jealous, and then you contemplate on, reflecting on the definition of that jealousy. Why is jealousy coming from, right? Why I am jealous towards the sentient beings? And then you see, and then you try to apply the particular antidotes, the antidote that is very suitable for that particular delusions. And if you are very pride shows you very pride towards the sentient beings, and you know this is the pride, and you have to apply different antidote towards the pride. If you are very attached towards the sentient being, and then you have to apply again the different antidote. So always you just they're practicing on that, they're dealing with the secondary delusions. So main your practice is the bodhicitta, and then you also the deal with the secondary mind, this trying to damage your practice, the trying to damaging your motivations. So yeah, 多少年门前当了，人生门前都能多把手。 So this is very important, right? So and while you're listening, you can just ask questions if you're not clear about what I'm saying. So first, generating bodhicitta, and the second, and seeing the sentient beings more cherishable, and third, and watching on your mind and dealing with the six root delusion and 20 secondary delusions. So three practice, right? So generating bodhicitta and seeing the sentient beings more cherishable and watching your mind. So this is cause and effect. First, you are practicing or you are trying to generate the bodhicitta. Second, seeing the sentient beings more cherishable is coming after that. You are, when you, the practice on the bodhicitta, trying to generate the bodhicittas, coming after that. And second is the obstacles arises. Obstacles come out and try to damage your practice, your motivations, your dedications, your wisdom, your merits, and you have to deal with that, fight with those afflicted emotions. Right? Any questions about this? So yeah, sometimes you see the sentient beings here. Some when you are trying to practice the compassions, you say, "I'm meditating on compassions," and the compassion means I feel those my friends, relatives, and those I try to feel those people's suffering. I can understand those people's suffering, right? And that is actually the sympathy. You sympathize those sentient beings, their friends and relatives suffering. And if you just leave only that practice and you believe this is the compassions and you believe there's no further the progress of that compassions. So sometimes that compassions generate the pride. There is the possibility to, because of that mind, you see the sentient beings, your relatives, your friends, who you are sympathizing on the sentient beings, you see more lower, right? So that is the danger of that danger from lacking the wisdom. You have a sympathy, but that kind of makes you more pride. So then, and you see why you sympathize the sentient beings. If you, because of this is my relatives, this is my friend, and this is not a valid reason. You have a bigger reason. You have a bigger, the valid reason. Right. I want to overcome. I want to understand. I understand the relatives of the friends are suffering. I want to cure that suffering. I wish those friends free from that kind of particular the suffering. And why? Because. Because I don't want to see those sentient beings are suffering. Just because I then that means you attach on yourself. So you are seeing very substantial I, very cherishable I, just because of that you sympathize those sentient beings. Right? Because you believe, you feel like it connected with that substantial I, very cherishable I, very pure I. So if you seeing yourself as pure and cherishable, and something that is related with that, even the table, spoon, the socks, maybe, so you have a kind of feeling, oh, I don't want to waste this. Because of too much attached towards yourself. So this is not the reason to generating compassion. So now here, what he's saying is, compassion means you are not just, intolerant of those sentient beings suffering. You are knowing the cause and the condition for that suffering. So you want to free the sentient being from the cause and the condition that produced the suffering. And then you say, what is the cause and the condition that producing suffering? You see the negative karma, negative mind. So you're really kind of focusing on those cause and the condition that producing suffering. That is the karma and the delusions. So compassion means you are, more compassion towards sentient beings, that is wishing, the desire, you have a desire to free the sentient being from the negative karma and the delusions. And that compassion, that mind has not connected with self-grasping, self-cherishing. So once you know that the negative karma and the delusion is the main cause for the suffering, right? And this mind is the antidote towards negative karma and the negative mind. And that has no connection with the self-cherishing, the selfish mind has no connected with that. So only sympathize has always connected with self-cherishing. Right? So then, the bodhicitta is produce or derive from the compassion. Compassion is a feeling or the desire sentient beings free from negative karma and the delusion. That is the compassion. And that feeling generates the discrimination awareness. It's knowing or the distinguishing that only the Buddha, omniscient mind, only the path, only the cessation has a potential to overcome this suffering. Right? And then after that, and then you see this, your friends and relative, and then you see, this is the field of the merit. These sentient beings, these relatives, these friends, is the field for me to generate, to produce, the plants, the merits. These are the field that I can exercise my wisdom. Right? So then you see the two fields, the sentient beings' field and Buddha's field, Buddha and Bodhisattvas. So sentient beings' fields that gives you opportunity to plan the more merits, to exercise your wisdom. And for the Buddhas in Bodhisattva field, you can obtain the blessing, and blessing that strengthens your wisdom, that strengthens your compassion. So to the main field, right? So therefore, and you respect sentient beings as same as you respect Buddha and Bodhisattva. So this practice is appropriate and bodhisattva, not me. Okay. Yeah, most of the time we always mixed the sympathy and the compassion. Right. with sympathy means I understand your feeling, your suffering. And when you say that, I understand your feeling, that means you have a feeling, you have a belief that so that person is more related with you. If not, and you have no understanding of that feeling. Right. So sympathy can derive from the self-cherishing, selfish, and self-grasping. And so, yeah. So we have to think, we have to try to generate that kind of the real antidote towards negative karma and delusion. That is the real practice. From that, you can generate compassion. From that, you can generate the wisdom, the realization, the emptiness. Right. So, if not, then you see only the sympathy. That is something you can feel others suffering because of something very related, something very, how to say, you are very attached to something, someone or something. So then you can feel those the friends or the relatives are suffering. And then you only look for to overcome that suffering. Maybe you just find the medicine, you try to call the doctor, and only, this is the only your wisdom. Right? So when you think of the real main cause and condition that causing them suffering, you find if you find the negative karma and the delusions, and that gives you more wisdom, right? And that has more exercising in your, that has more contemplating in your mind, and that gives you more courage. So I am going to do that. I am going to achieve enlightenment. Otherwise, there is no way to overcome those sentient beings from the suffering, right? Medicine, the doctor cannot, how to say, lead the sentient beings to a permanent state of happiness.
When you say when the person says I understand your feeling, mm-hmm. and they're grasping at a substantial I, is that because they're grasping at their feelings toward that person, or they're grasping at a projection of something they're feeling onto that person? I'm not real clear on the difference between having sympathy and the compassion.
So we are not here and how to say saying that sympathy is not good. So only we can have as a compassion is the sympathy now. So you have to develop that sympathy. So you have, that is the kind of sign of that you can generate compassion. Having a sympathy is you have, this is the sign that you can, you have a potential to generate compassion. Right? So we're trying to say here is only the sympathy is not enough to have a good motivation to in order to achieve enlightenment or the liberations. Sympathy is not enough. Sympathy is just the beginning, is the foundation. And then also we're saying that sympathy is more related with self-grasping. So you can have a sympathy towards someone because of that person is more related, right? So because of your relation, your relations, because you're related with you, and then you can have a sympathy. That means you are more cherishing yourself. And when you cherish too much on yourself, and something happened to yourself or the things that is connected with you, even though you say, I already mentioned that, even though you can have a kind of as feeling, you have a special feeling towards the socks, because it's, you see, oh, this is, I bought it from some place, right? So because I bought this means you have a reason that I, and then you have a feeling towards that socks. Right? If you say that new socks in the outside there and the garbage, you say, oh, just forget it. Right? So it's nothing, there's nothing related with yourself. So I, because of that I. When you said I, because I bought this, means I am the most cherishable, more pure, more, how to say, is the only one that I could cherish. I have a right to cherish. And then that thing is related with that. So I have to cherish that. Right? So then we, here you're saying the sympathy, that having a sympathy is a sign you have a potential to generate genuine compassion. So you can, how do we, improve that kind of sympathy? So then you have see what is the lacking of that sympathy to move you to, how to say, going towards liberation or the enlightenment. Sympathy has no enough. It's a completely lacking of the wisdom, understanding. So it only understand that only the surface of that suffering. And there is no understanding that is the main cause, the condition that producing that suffering. Right? Okay, then now trying to and the practicing the contemplating on generating bodhicitta, six causes, reflecting on the six causes and one effect. So you are practicing first, and then you see you will have a feeling towards the sentient being as more cherishable, right? And then there is the possibility that is the causes and the condition arises that has potential or that has that tends to damage your motivation, that damage your wisdom, and then you have to deal with this the delusions. Third is the dealing with delusions. And then rushing ye bin simjin den dikdu thaben ne de rinje de da chabashi never ka be jinjin shows. So when you read this the sentence it's the quality that's inconceivable. So you cannot how they think how those recent bodhisattvas is really that kind of what is the real cause that makes those bodhisattvas feeling that way, right? So even this is even that kind of that. The particular that kind of the person who is practicing generating bodhicitta and dealing with the delusions, seeing the sentient beings is more cherishable. So those sentient beings, more you practicing on that sentient and the bodhicitta, and that person, even that person can when you see the person or the individual that has a very bad attitude, is always kind of engaging in the negative actions. When bodhisattva sees those sentient beings, is they feel more cherishable, more lovely love, more kind of willing to treat that sentient beings, to cure that sentient beings, to help the sentient beings. That kind of feeling, that kind of mind arises after you trying to generate bodhicitta, you see the sentient beings more cherishable, you have, you spend enough time to contemplate or dealing with the afflictive emotions, and then that mind can turn into just very genuine thought, genuine feeling, genuine compassions. So that person, when see those sentient beings, very difficult situations, and you have a stronger desire, you have a stronger feeling, you have a stronger kind of the willingness to help that sentient beings, right? So for us, when you see someone is very, very bad, and then you try to avoid that person, we cannot do something, right? If we deal with that, it creates more problem for us, right? Because it's kind of, that attitude or that anger catches our anger and increases our anger. So for those, so that means we are not, mature enough to think that way, to have that kind of thought. So there is, these are the possibility. So once you practice in bodhicitta and constantly and try to see the sentient beings more respectable, and then always watching your mind, always once you see this certain delusion arises, right away you try to apply the antidotes, and then you pretty much subdued your mind, and there's less chances to catch the fire in your mind, right? So when you see this other sentient beings in the bad situation, they their attitudes or their behaves in very bad, so your mind is totally calm, and then you can find a different idea, different matters to help the sentient beings, right? Maybe that means if you're not mature enough, if you're not, you do not have a kind of that kind of thought, try to avoid that sentient beings first, and then just imagine that I could help those sentient beings and train your mind and deal with the delusions and that subduing your mind. And future, there is a, you could, handle those sentient beings.
A question about that. If someone is very angry and yelling a lot, does it, even if you're not reacting to it, does it still increase your anger? I mean, does it still have an imprint of anger to be ignited sometime later? If you're around someone who yells a lot, mm-hmm. and is angry quickly and yells a lot, does, even if you don't respond angrily back at them, does it increase your anger like in a later time?
So you're figuratively responding that. Oh, what a terrible that. You're not expressing it, but in your mind you're taking that, right?
Something
so, yeah. Yeah. There's the reception. you're still judging on that person, right?
So it does increase.
Yeah. Yeah. So
even
then.
If you totally block them out and just don't let them get to you?
Yeah, I think the first. There's not much the space to deal with the sentient beings, because you are not really trained. Your mind is not, that much trained in that compassion. Your mind is also wild, so when the wild comes and the wild get in, that's really .
One time somebody got really angry around me or at me and they said something. And then, I don't know, maybe 6 months later, I got angry at somebody else or about somebody was talking about that. And the same thing they said came out of my mouth. And I'm going, whoa, I've never said that before, but I just recently heard that.
So you really wish to say that? You did.
<You're> stopping it.
I should have said something, but you just. Okay, this is the Nyabhagava Jinzisho. dāla shīnjī tātū kī shīgū lāsū mīrībē, chūngārāngi lēmbā dā jēgā shīnā bīgā shīgās. Nowadays, it's a more kind of the forceful the thought that you that can tame your mind, that train your mind. So you just... So here it says, if there the someone who are really jealous towards you, or someone trying to hurt you, intend to harm you or something, and you said, I always let them defeat me. You just, I think first is an imagine, figuratively, and you're practicing that. So if someone really dislike you, you just imagine those person and then let them defeat you. What they want to say, everything you just accept, or I should accept, because I promise to practice bodhicitta. So this is kind of I will give all the victories for the sentient beings. When you imagine one person, that person is very much dislike you, and that hates you, and then you, you are kind of thinking that because I dedicate all my merits, wisdom, all my things that possess to me, belongs to me, I dedicate all the sentient beings. So these the sentient beings is one of those sentient beings. So I have to respect the sentient beings. So just imagine that person's yelling at you and you just respecting. Try to do that, right? So this is more forceful kind of the subduing your self-cherishing or something, right? So you imagine that. And so that giving victory towards sentient beings and accepting the defeat. Yeah, this is the one practice. Kanlandagi pendabe rewachewa kanshiki. Shinu miri nyoshinaye, shinye thampa tawashos. So in here, and the second it says, if you have a very, if you cherish someone that's your relative or your friends or your children, and you have a very the bright future, you have a very kind of the dream, the good dream about these sentient beings. You all many years, many days, many months, you're just wishing that. And somehow that person turns out to against you, right? And you think, so this is the lesson I'm receiving, I'm learning. So, shinye thampa tawashi means I consider that person as my teacher. So that means you also learn, gain some knowledge. So that means, I think one first thing is it's the real kind of they're dealing with your kind of anger or something. So that you believe, oh, this is happened as a teacher, as a giving a lesson to you. So I wish I have wished for that person for many years, many months, and now he is really against me. He's trying to harm me. He totally forgot the kindness of me. And then you say, this is the lesson. And second, there is a possibility to generate the compassion toward that, because not just because of his wish, desire to do that. It's a force of his delusion. See, he cannot control his delusions. he cannot control over the negative karma that is happening here. And that is the big lesson for you. So you already, you have done that kind of things in many lives and previous time. Maybe you had against towards your teacher or the guru many times. You're trying to criticize on and the Buddha and Dharma and Sangha. So just because of, not because of your desire to do that, just because of the force of the delusions and negative karma, right? So this is what I'm seeing in front of me is one example. So considering this is the one teacher who is giving a lesson about about the delusion. And then Shinya Thampa Tawasho, don't know the Juba Yi Pendem Pendem Manam Kunambi Mayan Dungyu Sarandal Lambashos. And then after that, and you train your mind like thinking all the qualities, all the happiness you are receiving, all the knowledge that you are receiving, all the wisdom that you are receiving, all the compassion, all the good feeling and the positive minds I have, I possess those qualities, I wish. So all the sentient beings possess my all the positive qualities. I wish all the sentient beings that can one day they will generate the bodhicitta, they will generate the compassions, and they are free from the any all the negative causal conditions. So you wish those sentient beings achieve the positive qualities by knowing your qualities. Because so this is the only way when you wish, first you have to have that kind of quality, you have to have understanding about these qualities. Without understanding, you cannot wish those sentient beings. There's many qualities that we cannot wish for the sentient beings because you do not know about these qualities, right? There's a many number of the qualities of the Buddha and Bodhisattvas. Right now, we cannot conceive those qualities. How can you wish the sentient beings to achieve those kind of qualities? So by knowing your own qualities, trying to achieve some qualities, it's a positive mind, positive thought, positive wisdom, positive karma. So you then you see how that positive the qualities is affecting on you, how that can produce happiness in your mind. So by knowing that, then you wish all the sentient beings, so how to say, the endless of sentient beings there. So all the sentient beings achieve that kind of faith, compassion, so wisdom, and they are very happy, and they are very kind of the release from the all the suffering. So this is Sarandala Lambashos. Now when you practice that, try not to express, oh, I am practicing, I'm trying to take the suffering from sentient beings. I'm giving my all the qualities. So this is not really appropriate. So silently, secretly, you are taking all the suffering, the sentient beings on you. You were giving all the qualities that you possess in you within you. So you're just giving all these qualities to the sentient beings and secretly practicing on that. Try not to express it, I'm doing that, right? So these are the secret practice. If you say that, then that means, that indicates that you are looking for some reward or the praises or something. So that means that attitudes is coming out of the pride, desire, self-cherishing. So you want to be an outstander or some from among the peoples, right? So secretly practice on that. The main purpose of practicing is taming your mind. You are looking forward to the subdued mind. You are looking for more compassion, more wisdom in your mind. You are not looking for the fame or the wealth or something, right? Because your practice is for the gaining enlightenment, not for the president, right? Not governor or something. if you're really looking for the become a government or the president, then you have to go out and tell them, oh, I have that kind of qualities, I can do that, I can do that. So Sananda was secretly practicing on that. And the final practice is emptiness, realization emptiness. And then emptiness is, and that is empty of inherent existent I, empty of independent I. Try to empty that independent I, inherent existent I, because I is the one entity that they created by term and thought, by having a appearance of the collection of that, the basis. Once you appear as the collection of the parts, and then you have your mind has a habit to label on something. So you label different many entities. So that entity is actually coming out from your thought and the term. But once you appear to the entity, you see this is independently exist. It's out there. It's coming out from the basis. And in reality, that entity is unfindable within the basis. You see separate from your mind because your mind and term creates, right, that entity based on some collection, some parts, by such as the collection of this mind and body appears to you. You can move your body by just feeling, thinking, and then you can move. And then you have a belief, you have a feeling there is something, right? By knowing there is the connection, the mind and body, right? And then you create, oh, that's me, that's a human being, that's I am. So who is expressing it? It's your term is expressing that I. Your thought is believing there is an I. Because you have a feeling, you have seen that these collections, this combination of the body in physical and mind, right? When you think something, you can act. You can express those things. So then you have, there is something solidly exists there. And then I would impute I, right? I am human being. And then you wear, you take a vows and you wear monk's robe. Oh, I am monk. And then you say, I am Geshe, right? By having us, the basis, by having us seeing the basis, you have a habit to label on something. So it's unfindable when you say that I am Geshe. Why? Why you are Geshe? Because I have seen some, I have people knows that I studied. I took exams many years. So people label on me as a Geshe. And I also believe that I did something, right? By knowing, when you say, is that your knowledge is a Geshe? No, it's not a Geshe. It's not a monk. Your body is a Geshe? No. And your robe is a monk? No. And what you see is Geshe. Because I want to express, I want to have people to know something. And then only I can do is say and express, indicates. So there is something, right? So based on appearance, that based on imputational entity, many different kind of label. And sometime because of that appears to me, that scares me, that excite me, that, how to say, generate interest. By seeing those, the label in front of me, and I believe, I feel these are the solid, and that has a potential to scare me, that has a potential to excite me, to give me interest, right? Or I am something. So, so it's very strange. Sometimes it gives you a very big smile. Just when you sit on one chair, there's nothing happened. You're just having a tea. Nothing is going on, and then your mind is reflecting on something, right? So sometimes it gives you a big smile. Why are you smiling that, right? Because you see something. So not through your eye consciousness, you're mentally imagining something, right? Imagining something. You're seeing one entity, right? And you excite over that. That is not really exist in right now, but it has a potential to give a big smile right now. Right? Something past is totally become a non-existence. So these are the images, these are the label that you keep labeling. And you keep believing that a solid existence that can excite you, and that can scare you. So that is how it's inherent existence. Believing inherent existence, believing truly existent in phenomena. So, and then contemplate on the basis and entity. When think thermos is one entity. And when you go to the basis, there's a cover and inside the glass. And so when you try to point which one is thermos, there's nothing. But you just put there and you have a notion, you have a feeling there is a thermos. Right? So comes to your mind, especially in your mental consciousness, has a one entity based on having seen that kind of the collections or the combination of that cover in the glass, and you said, oh, there is a thermos. So that means the entity, it exists, mere exists in the face of your mind. Without that, now here, we are not saying that that entity is non-exist, that entity, having a label, is a negative. No. Knowing or believing that entity is a solid existence, truly existence, as a findable within the basis, is really coming out from that basis. That is mistaken. Right? So, thermos is unfindable within the cover of the thermos, within the glass, mere exist in the face of your thought, your term. Now, so this kind of, more you contemplate is something that is to find the many logical reason to prove there is no inherent existence, there is no independent existence. And then more you turn that way, so you will see all the phenomena. It's like a magician. So there's nothing can really scare you. There's nothing can you excite you. Right? It's totally calm. There's no, the, how to say, disturbing mind. It's very bright and calm, and it's very sharp mind, and so that is the kind of is the peace. So teta chukun jin chuji ji dobe time ma ba shin. So now here is that kind of understanding of emptiness, that kind of knowing, subtle dependent arisings, very subtle level, very subtle meaning of the dependent arisings is really how to say, gives you a understanding about how to say, like the phenomena that are mere, how to say, and empty of inherent existence. And what that the practice, that practice particularly set the antidote towards Jigden Shugye means eight worldly mind, right? Eight worldly mind means so we have a fear for the sentient beings, have a fear because of, so we said here's a eight worldly mind is first oneself and I and my, right, my relatives, my enemy. Here there is a possibility that can harm you, that can hit you, that can damage you, right? Right now, is damaging right now, that will damage in the future, and how to say, that had damaged in you in the previous time. So this is the three. And second, something that is really trying to hit my relatives, is harming my relatives, that will harm my relatives, that had harm my relatives. And fourth, about the enemy, that person or the things that is benefiting my enemy, had benefit, will benefit in the futures. This is our concern. That is that it, this is nine that is it causes you the fear. So this is the nine, and because of that, and then you wish to have so this kind of, yeah, and then so these are the thought that can has a fully potential, the full potential to create the fear in your mind. So that thoughts, those nine thoughts are believing strongly in truly existent, independent existence. So once you understand there is no independent existence, there is no truly existent, is everything is dependently arising, and that kind of destroy those nine thoughts. And there's less the possibility to create the fear in your mind. Right? So, and yeah, this is the mind training. Check out. First, you have to remember that first you are, how to say, beginning to practice or to meditate on generating bodhicitta. This is the first. And second, see if your practice, contemplating on bodhicitta is become right or wrong. So you see after the practice, when you see anybody, like everybody, when you see things, sentient beings, do you feel like more respectful? Do you have more cherishing on that person? That is the sign that you have enough to practice, so you have enough knowledge or wisdom to practice bodhicitta. And after that, and you see, and there is kind of obstacles. There are many obstacles that can tend to damage your practice. That is the delusions, and you have to deal with the delusions, right? Generating bodhicitta and feeling towards sentient being as more cherishable and dealing with the delusion. And seeing more cherishable when you see the person is individual is more kind of harmful or more negative actions, negative attitudes. And then you try to have more kind of responsibility, more, sense of closeness towards that someone who is really undergoing that bad situation. And you try to have antidote towards the sentient beings, the individual, the particular sentient being that is really try to harm you, and that person has a bad feeling about you. That person is very angry towards you. That person is very jealous towards you, and you wish in your mind, you imagine that I will give all the victories for that person. Because these persons, this individual person, is one of the sentient beings, that I give up all the qualities for the sentient beings. Right? So this is you imagining that. And how many? First, generating bodhicitta and feeling, dealing with the delusions, and more kind of responsible, taking responsibility when you encounter with the person, the individual is undergoing and bad situations, as have bad attitude, bad thought, bad negative actions, and then the fourth is. Fourth, is it fourth or fifth? Fourth, right. So, and then someone has a bad, feeling about you. Someone really hates you. Someone really jealous to you. And then you imagine all the victories giving to that that person. And all the victories, and I will have the defeat. So that imagining. So this is a very forceful practice, this. And the sixth is when you, happen to meet with the person that is, you have so many years you dream about that person's in the future, and you cherish, you spend all the time, so you spend all the qualities, all the monies or the many things in the future, and then that person turns out against you, and that really hates you or something. So then you believe, you consider this is the one teacher that giving you a lesson, right? And the secretly practice, seventh, right? Seventh is you secretly practicing or the imagining that quality that you gain, you achieve, you are enjoying that qualities. You, how to say, imagining that you're giving those quality to the sentient beings. Sentient beings are receiving that the positive qualities, and they are enjoying on that qualities. They are being happy. So you secretly practice on that, right? And then the eighth is a practice on the and emptiness. So this is the six verses to mind training from the Geshe Chagawa. I believe this is Geshe Chagawa. Seventh is Geshe Langtangpa. Yeah, Nagri Tangpa.
Where can we learn more about the antidotes to the delusion? Is there like a passage to study or a book you would recommend?
Yeah, now here is the brief kind of description on the qualities of the practice, right? So when you elaborate that kind of idea, then you have to study many things like and the tenet school, all the four tenets, and the Prajaparamitas. So there is a talking about the path to liberations, liberation in enlightenment. So we have to listen and contemplate and discuss, and then so then you have to put all the ideas together, try to apply that in your mind, right? So there is many possibilities. Some, they try to gain all the knowledge, they just put in their brain, and not really applying, trying to experience it, trying to feel it. Rather, they being very pride and arrogant, oh, I have that much knowledge. And that has a kind of, because of that knowledge, there is a danger to generate negative karma, and that leads you to hell realm or something. So, right? Now, someone who is really have a strong faith towards Buddha and Bodhisattvas, and they are really wishing, they have a strong desire to practice, but that much, not that much knowledge. Whatever they have, they try to apply it. So that person is more kind of intelligent, more smart. So they always have a victory. Those people have a rocket. So not only put in your brain, is you have to apply this, right? So I'm the one who is putting in brain. On his brain. Maybe my brain can enlighten. I will say the brain will leave me in samsara. So there's the cause and the effect. So what you create cost, what kind of cost you are creating, and you will receive the result of that. If you really have a genuine feeling towards Buddha, Buddha Dharma and Sangha, you really have a strong desire to achieve that kind of, and you have a strong faith, you have a wisdom, and there is always the positive result. And if you have both, big knowledge and big feeling, and always happy. So more knowledge, less feeling, less effect, right? More feeling, less knowledge, that has a certain effect on that as a result. And both is good enough, like a big feeling and big knowledge, as is like the bullet train. and neither one is. No feeling, no knowledge.
Mindfulness
feeling. I think there's a, according to Theravada, they have a certain a technique to practice one mindfulness, a feeling. I think that's really combined with mindfulness of body at the same time. So visualizing the moon, the bright moon, and that dissolving in your body, the first touches the your head, all the part of heads, try to feel it, and then you see that feeling, what is the cause of that feeling, what is the condition that produces that feeling. And you, so in Tibetan words, this is in Dharma texts, Rangji Tsinyi is, and how to say, So for example, real kind of when you're focusing on that feeling, you believe you kind of you have a you're imagining that the moon goes, dissolving into your head first, and you have a feeling that that moon touches your head, and you try to feel there is a certain feeling that when you imagine that, and you kind of focus on that feeling, what is really producing that feeling? It's only my thought, and there is a the many conditions combined with that, so your mind is the one cause to produce that kind of feeling, and the fact and the elements in your brain, in your head, and that is also involved in that producing the feeling. And you see those elements, so not one element, earth element, fire element, wind element, and the space, so all those. And your mind that imagining that moon that touches your the head, all these are combined together that producing that feeling. That feeling is not really staying in one instant. It's changing constantly, right? Changing because of the elements and your thought is moving towards something. It's differently thinking, and so. And you see that feeling is not really steady or not permanent. It's constantly changing because of the condition, the force of the conditions, that moving of the movement of the conditioned elements, that movement of where you're thinking, right? So when you imagine the moon, there is always changing. You have sometimes it's more clear, sometimes not clear, sometimes you have it's bright, less bright, sometimes bigger and sometimes smaller, so always changing, right? Because of that, and all the elements also moving. So because of that, you have your feeling in your head is always changing. It cannot stand or stay in one place, one and how to say the state. So always moving forward. And then you see the feeling, and then you just move that the moon, and then touches the neck, and you try to feel different. And you see also this feeling is producing from the mind and producing from the elements that possessing that part of that the place. And because that movement of that elements and movement of your mind, and that is also changing. And then you move forward that the moon and touches all the parts of your body, and you try to feel it. And that is mindfulness feeling. It's a combined mindfulness body, right? And then at the same time, when you, for example, you are imagining the moon that dissolving in your body and that touches all parts of your body. Sometimes while you're meditating, sometimes you see your body is also meditating because it's trying to very kind of, it's intense. It's trying to focus something. It's very stiff, right? So when you see or feel there's a stiffness in your part of somebody, you just relax it. And you, wherever the touch the moon, you see, try to see there's any stiffness. And you try to relax. And your body is not meditating. Your mind is more meditating. When the body tries to meditate, the focusing on something, it becomes very kind of stiff, produce the stiffness in your body. So you try to relax all the physical body and try to make your mind focusing on one single object. Right? So mindfulness feeling, knowing its own character, its own the feeling that is feeling, you're knowing that this is just feeling, and knowing the feeling is constantly changing, you're also knowing the character, one character of that, the feeling that is impermanence. And then if you further try to contemplate on that, and you see the feeling is, when you imagining the feeling on neck, and you're just focusing on that feeling, that's only exist, stays, live in that place, right? And you see, there's nothing you can point. I am here. Part of me. I am, you cannot, this is not the illustration. Completely devoid of the I. It's knowing understanding. This helping you to understand the selflessness. Focusing on feeling, knowing that is impermanent, knowing that is the devoid of I, and then wherever that you are focusing on the feeling, every part of body try to understand this is impermanence, this is changing, this is not illustration of I, this is the devoid of I, and it touches all every part of body. So you try to contemplate on that. And then the final, move that moon head to the toes. And you come back and again go back to the head. And then it stays in the middle. And you try to make more smaller and smaller the moon, right? Very small, very bright. And try to dissolve yourself into that moon and try to see, is there I, right? And no I is your understanding, right? So that is not really, understanding of that. So from that perspective, you don't see I. You see empty of that I, that empty of I is actually empty of substantial I, empty of, the permanent I, empty of the partless I, right? So when you come out through meditations, and you have I, because you have a basis, because you have a thought that has a tendency or the habit to labeling on something, that is the right. If you do not have label, you do not have expression. But you have expressed something. Oh, I'm not doing well today. I'm going to have something. Yeah, I'm hungry. Right? So that by having seen the basis, and your mind has it's a habit or it's a tendency to label it on something, and having appears those entity, appears that kind of imputational label, imputational nature, the based on that you express. So most of the time you maybe say, so many of us when you discuss, and you have a different understanding, you have a different way of seeing, because you have different appearance in your mind. So you're reading this, your appearance. Whenever people talk, they are reading their mind. They're reading their imaginations. Some has a very aggressive way of saying things, expressing things. Some has a very soft, like very reluctant. Some has a very smart way. Some has a jumping around, saying things like not related. So these are because they are reading their own imaginations. So when you are imagination, your appearance is not in order, and we express things, it's jumping. So you are talking about here, about the Dharma, and suddenly goes to business, suddenly goes to so driving in the freeway or something. So it's like a rumbling, right? So because you have not order in your appearance, right? So because everything we express, everything we say, think, is always that appearance, that entity, that label, that imputational nature, based on that, we express things. And we get very angry because that appearance becomes very more solid, more independent to us. So then we are more excited, more angry, more so jealous. But emptiness means emptying solid character on that entity, that imputational nature. Yeah.
When you say practicing at the moon, imagination of the moon touching the head, is it the same path or same path when you practice?
Same path means
like when the moon touches the neck and it goes down.
Mm-hmm. Stays in the middle.
Up and down, same path.
Yeah. Okay. Up and down, first, right, starting from the head to the toe and coming back to the head, and stays in the middle. And then try to make it more smaller and smaller, and the bright, small. And then you assuming or you are trying to dissolve yourself into that subtle moon, very subtle and bright. Right.
White, is it crystal light? White?
It's like a flashlight. It doesn't matter, it's bright. Yeah. So.
So the purpose of visualizing the moon is to show yourself emptiness.
Yes, yes, yeah. Knowing emptiness is kind of this, it has a very strong effect and reducing the undermining the intensity of your delusions. Someone who has a very strong anger, someone has a strong attachment, someone has a strong jealous, someone has more the pride. So when you practice, you can see right away it's kind of undermined or reduced. So that is a subduing our mind. We are taming our mind, subduing mind. Subdue means that, right? Yeah, area of the heart. You don't have to measure your body and put it in the same area. Someone has a long, but the tall legs, so then it's not. Yeah. No questions?
Does yellow have a significant meaning?
Yellow. The color has no significant meaning. Yeah, significant meaning in your mind when you interpret that. Right. So, yeah, it's. And when you, and the tantric, maybe there are some interpretation on the color, even the wind, there's a tsawe lung ma, yangaji lung. So there's a 10 and the main wind, 5 the root wind. So they describe the, each of those wind has a different colors. So this is, I don't know who shows this color.
When you say wind, are you talking about the subtle energy?
Yes, yeah. Oh. So because of that, you see the deity is some different colors, right? Okay. So Yamantaka has a dark blue, and Tara, white Tara, and red Tara, the green Tara. That has a different kind of person, simple kind of, what do you call that? Different indications, maybe, yeah. Okay.
Chanchu simcho rinpo che, ma je pa na je je je, je pa nyan pa me wa nyan, kong ne wang de me wa rish. Ponyi dawa rinpo che, ma je pa na je je je, je pa nyan pa me wa nyan, kong ne wang de me wa rish. Kare ra ve gu ve shi ngam de re, pen tan de wa ma lun che we. Che re san wang ten ten jia zu yin, sha pe si de pa du ten gyu ru chi.